The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In language that recalls the 23rd Psalm, Jesus describes himself as the shepherd who cares for the sheep. He is willing to die for them, and he is able to overcome death for them. The Gospel lesson. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And let's begin this sermon time with a word of prayer. Gracious God, you are the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. We thank you that you make us your own and that you are willing to sacrifice on our behalf. Help us to claim the victory that comes because of your sacrifice as we emulate what you have done for us in our lives. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a story from the first century BC that may be apocryphal. The story took place when much of the world was unexplored, unknown, and largely unmapped. Map makers had to have some way of portraying those areas of the earth that were as yet unexplored, and so they symbolized these areas, these regions, with dragons and monsters and large fish. The message was clear to the people who looked at the maps. Uncharted territories are frightening, are fearsome places. Terrors lay buried there. But as many maps declared, there be treasures as well. So the story is this. One commander of a battalion of Roman soldiers was caught up in a battle that took him into territory that the map makers had represented with their monsters and dragons. Not knowing whether to forge ahead into the unknown or turn back to the known, which would also be a retreat, he dispatched a messenger to Rome with this urgent request: "Please send new orders, for we have marched off the map." My friends, the years 2020 and now into 2021 have seen our world marching off the map like never before. Indeed, we are now marching off the map more than when Halford E. Lukoc preached his famous sermon with this title way back in the 1950s. Today we find ourselves in uncharted waters as we march off the map of rapidly expanding technology and flying drone helicopters on Mars, the map of political upheaval and domestic terror, the likes of which have never been experienced in this nation, the map of sky-high unemployment, especially for women of color in the workforce, the environmental map of climate change, the demographic map of inequality of health care and the availability of COVID vaccines. You could add your own map, whatever map you can think of, and we are marching off of that. How can we possibly hope to navigate through all of these uncharted realms? Well, today I want to suggest that we use Psalm 23. Which has been sometimes described as the 6 longest short verses in the Bible. The power of Psalm 23, I would submit to you this morning, comes from its use of 2 key words, though and through. The same word except for one single letter, the letter R. And as I hope to share with you, or for you to see, it is the one little letter that makes all the difference in the world. It's a letter that can turn your though into a through. David, the shepherd boy who wrote these words, knew the truth behind that first word, though. There are dangers lurking around every corner. There was no if about the reality of life's obstacles and problems, and Psalm 23 candidly faces the inevitable. It proclaims not if, but though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We know that the reality is that life isn't all loaded tables, overflowing cups, or green pastures. Sometimes our hair isn't anointed with oil, but matted down with grime and grease. Sometimes we're not lying in green pastures, but flailing around in blue Mondays. Sometimes we're not resting by the shore of still waters, but struggling in the valley of the shadow. And every one of us has a valley. Some of us have a valley that we were given at birth, a valley of poverty or abuse or disability. Some of us have been born into green pastures of plenty, but immediately proceed to dig our own valleys of shadow through drugs or alcohol or violence or ignorance or prejudice. And the psalmist, again, King David, accurately describes these persons as ones who have dug a pit in my way, but have fallen into the midst of it themselves. He writes those words in Psalm 57. But while we are walking the valley of the shadow, and please note that the text doesn't say we can run the valley, the Bible teaches that God is with us and that God with us bears all the sufferings and pains of the world and the hurts of our scared and scarred souls. God is with us whatever we face. For the Christian, the cross becomes the symbol of the agony endured both by the creation and the Creator. Though none of us gets out of life without walking the valley, the psalmist makes it plain that God does not intend for us to remain there forever. The valley of the shadow is something that we go through. Valleys are not resting places, but rather passageways. We can walk through our problems, we can walk through our sorrows, we can walk through our pain. We can walk through our screw-ups. What Psalm 23 promises us is that in all of these journeys, the Lord is with us and will walk through with us. Though and through differ by only one small letter, the letter R. Now, you might know that in American Sign Language, R is made by crossing the middle finger over the index finger, thus. But crossed fingers have a history long before sign language that predates American Sign Language by many, many, many decades and centuries. In the first centuries of the church, when Christianity was illegal and Christians were vigorously persecuted, believers found ways to communicate their faith very subtly. One way that you may know about is the tracing of the sign of a fish in the dirt, the word for fish being an acrostic for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And so it was used to secretly identify one as a follower of Jesus. Another sign accompanying a greeting or a farewell were crossed fingers, again, identifying Christians to one another as people of the cross. And so crossed fingers were, again, a mute silent symbol for the cross of Christ and the redemption Christ's death on that cross brought to all people. Now today, crossed fingers mean a number of things, something very different than what I shared with you. When placed behind one's back, what do crossed fingers mean? They mean you don't mean what you are saying, right? And when held in one's lap, I'm told that they mean one is hoping that something will or will not come to pass. Cross your fingers for a moment, will you? Just while you're sitting in your pew. Have you ever crossed your fingers for luck? Well, if you have, did you know that you were making an ancient Christian symbol of the faith, a bodily demonstration of God's protective, caring nature? As I said earlier, it was the Christians who first invented crossed fingers, and they had nothing to do whatsoever with luck and everything to do with trust in God. Crossed fingers were a Christian secret weapon against evil. Instead of crossing oneself openly and thus inviting the attention of dangerous foes, a Christian could call on the powerful protection of the Holy Cross by making this small, inconspicuous gesture. This was a devout believer's direct communication to God through body language. This is what the crossed fingers of the letter R, the difference that turns a though into a through, still mean for you and I today. Though we may walk in the darkness of the valley of the shadow, we are not alone. God is with us. Walking through the valley with us is the one who suffered and died for our sake, the crucified one. Now, you may have seen this sign of blessing given as part of the benediction. There is also a crossed fingers version of this, like so, called the blessing of Christus Victor. Again, I invite you to cross your fingers as I end this sermon with the blessing of Christus Victor and say to you, may Christ be victorious in your life. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.